to the Relief Society program on the Mormon Channel. I'm Sharon Eubank. Today we're discussing the organization of the Relief Society under the priesthood and after the pattern of the priesthood. Joining me in the studio today is Sister Barbara Thompson, second counselor in the General Relief Society presidency, and Sister Janice Staples, member of the Relief Society General Board. Sister Thompson, Sister Staples, thank you both for joining us.
We're so happy to be here.
It's great to be here. Thank you, Sharon. Thank you.
During the construction of the Nauvoo Temple, a group of sisters desired to organize to support the building effort. Eliza R. Snow drafted bylaws for this new group. When she showed them to the Prophet Joseph Smith, he responded, "Tell the sisters their offering is accepted of the Lord, and he has something better for them." Later, Joseph said, "I will organize the women under the priesthood after the pattern of the priesthood." Sister Thompson, could you tell us, what does it mean to you that the Relief Society was organized under the pattern of the priesthood? What is the pattern of the priesthood?
One way that I can explain that is by using a quote from Sister Julie B. Beck. She said, "We operate in the manner of the priesthood, which means that we seek, receive, and act on revelation, make decisions and counsels, and concern ourselves with caring for individuals one by one. Ours is the priesthood purpose to prepare ourselves for the blessings of eternal life by making and keeping covenants. Therefore, like our brethren who hold the priesthood, ours is a work of salvation, service, and becoming a holy people." Oh, I love that quote. And that helps me to center my thoughts around revelation, counsels, ministering, and covenants. And so I think when we're operating with those principles in mind, we're operating under the authority of the priesthood and after the pattern of the priesthood.
You know, the very last line in that quote says, "Our work is a work of salvation." And that is why the Lord created Relief Society. When Relief Society was organized in Nauvoo, they were saving souls. And Relief Society is part of the restoration. Even in the new handbook, there is a section about the history, and it says this: "The Relief Society was divinely made, divinely authorized, divinely instituted, divinely ordained of God." I love the quote that Sister Beck has used. It's from President Packer, and it explains so much our connection with the priesthood and how we can follow those priesthood patterns. She quoted President Packer by saying, "Attendance at the Sunday meeting is but a small part of our duty." He explained, "The Relief Society, the Prophet Joseph Smith told us, is organized after the pattern of the priesthood. When a man holds the priesthood, it requires full dedication and loyalty. If you sisters follow after that pattern, you will serve your organization, your cause, the Relief Society. Service in the Relief Society magnifies and sanctifies each individual sister. Your membership in Relief Society should be ever with you." And I've often thought of that as I have seen the priesthood and how they have magnified in their callings, that Relief Society will be ever with us as we go about our service.
I love the fact that we're called to callings by one who holds the priesthood, and he calls us with that authority and then in turn gives that authority for us to act. And that is such a wonderful thing. In this church, we're organized in presidencies, and a president will be called, and she or he will choose their counselors, and then those counselors will be called, and each of us will be set apart by one who has the authority of the priesthood. And so it is a great comfort to me to know that everything we do, if we strive to live by these principles, everything we will do will be after the manner and after this pattern.
You know, you're describing something that's really interesting. You're talking about Relief Society functioning under the pattern or the way that priesthood is organized. And one of those is councils, one of them is seeking revelation, one of them is operating in presidencies. You both serve in general councils at the highest level of Relief Society in the church. Can you give some examples that you're comfortable sharing about how you have sought and applied revelation to your calling as part of this pattern of the priesthood?
You know, I think I have a new understanding and appreciation about council since my husband has become bishop, and I hope it's okay if I share that perspective. As our ward Relief Society president meets with my husband, they discuss the concerns in the ward. And then I see when he comes home how his burden is lifted because of what he has shared with the Relief Society president. And after they meet, I know that she goes and prayerfully determines how to implement and support the bishop in his concerns. And she will do it through, you'll see it in a Sunday meeting or a weekday meeting or training visiting teachers or ministering one-on-one. And there's one experience that was a great example of this. When my husband became bishop, he became aware of a girl that was in the ward who was 14 years old, and she was a member of a less active family. She was investigating the church, but was really confused and wasn't sure about the gospel and where it would take her. And so one time he met in a ward council, and he was thinking about this young girl. And he asked the Ward Relief Society president, I believe the young women's president was there also. They talked about what kind of ways they could help this young girl. And they determined that they were going to make a concerted effort and then report back to him how this girl was doing and how her progress was and if she was able to learn more about the gospel. And so this good Relief Society president and young women's president did all they could. They invited her to their home. They even took her to Temple Square and answered her question there. I remember the Relief Society president said, I even had her come and clean with me in my house. These young girls in the mutual, in the young women's organization, put their arms around her also, and it made all the difference. Eventually, this young girl was baptized and obviously converted to the church. Because this Relief Society and Young Women's Presidency counseled together as a presidency and then went back to the ward council and received counsel from everybody in that group, it was because of that and many other people that blessed this young girl is the reason why she was converted and, of course, her own effort. And I'm so appreciative of this good family who is now studying and investigating the church also so they can become active again.
You know, we're blessed on a daily basis, it seems like, with the power of the priesthood and with the opportunity of counseling together with our priesthood advisors. One thing that comes vividly to my mind is the many times over the past several years as we've worked on the Church Handbook of Instructions that came out recently, one would not imagine the number of hours that we went over that book, over every page of the Relief Society section, and the number of hours we spend in discussion and in prayer and trying to discern what would be the best way to proceed. And one of the things that I admired most and learned so much about the priesthood was that value of having a priesthood advisor there that after we had done the very best we could and who had received the revelation that we could, then we had the opportunity to discuss this with our priesthood advisors. And with that working together, that became so much better than we could have ever done without that counsel. So seeking that revelation and then having that counseling together with our priesthood advisors, it turned out to be a blessing and a revelatory process, even though at times it was very difficult and a lot of hard work.
It's interesting to hear you talk about that. I've heard Sister Beck say that revelation is scattered among us. One of the powers of councils is that different people get different pieces of the story, and then the revelatory process that you talked about is putting it all together.
That's right, because there isn't usually a whole group that gets the exact answer at the same time. We each bring a piece of it, and we each bring our perspective and our opinion and our insight. And, of course, we strive to diligently prepare ourselves spiritually that we'd be able to have the answers to those questions. And so that is one example that I can think of where revelation and counseling together has helped in my calling.
It really helped when I saw the Worldwide Leadership Training last November, what a great example that was about counseling. As I saw that panel converse, I saw that they all had an equal voice and their opinions were respected. I saw how they each came prepared. They had their scriptures in front of them and they were ready to work as a council. And the thing that impressed me probably the very most was the spirit that they had with them and how they were open to that revelation.
You know, the church is made up of councils and people who have leadership responsibilities, and even in families. Families are the most basic form of council. Would you talk more about the role of women in councils of the church and how women can work effectively in a council setting, either in the church or in their own families?
Sometimes counseling together isn't a natural thing for any of us. We tend to come to conclusions on our own. And I think that once we've had the opportunity to experience the power of counseling together, we don't want to do it any other way. But think how when a couple counsels together, this is a couple who love each other. They want the best for one another and for their family. And so they're counseling together to come up with the solutions that will help them the most. And it's a beautiful thing to watch. I didn't realize until I was older what an impact that was having on our family. But we, as children, participated in that counseling process in our family. It was fun. And I felt that I was important, that I was a member of this family that was just as important as anyone else. And it was great. It was a testimony builder for me.
Visiting teaching is obviously one of the ways that women in the church concern themselves about caring for individuals and working with people one-on-one. Sister Thompson, you based your last General Relief Society meeting talk on visiting teaching. And sometimes we have this emotional reaction against those words, visiting teaching. We think that it means a certain thing. But how can we think about visiting teaching in a new way?
I think visiting, more than any one thing, gives us a chance to watch over and strengthen and care for one another, to teach one another. Sometimes we look at it as an assignment or a job rather than a real opportunity to minister. And I think a lot of different things happen in a home when you're visiting two-on-one or one-on-one, and you're just visiting with a woman, and she can see you and talk to you and look into your eyes and your faces, and she can see if you care about her. I think when women connect in that way, that they're able to strengthen and bless each other more than in just about any other setting. Yes, we can strengthen each other in classroom settings or in an activity or other places like that. But when we have that one-on-one experience, I think that is the chance for me to really tell someone from my heart, I love you. I care about you. What you do makes a difference to me, not because I've been assigned to be here, but because I really do want the best for you and for your family. And so I think that it's hard to convey that to others as well as in that visiting teaching setting.
I think having an experience with visiting teaching has changed so many of us, and we're just never the same again after we have an experience where we know the Lord is depending on us. I just recently attended a ward. It was a very young Relief Society presidency that was conducting and in charge. The Relief Society president had asked her first counselor if she would give the lesson on visiting teaching. This counselor was just young. She was probably only 24. She bore such a strong testimony of visiting teaching, and afterwards I visited with her and I asked her, where did that come from? And she said, you know, when I was 21, there was a tragedy that happened in our ward. The bishop came to me knowing that I was the visiting teacher of this good family and asked me if I would go and minister to this family. And I had to dig down deep and become very prayerful to know how to help this family. I had so little experience in life, and then I was going to have to help this family who had faced such a tragedy. It was because of that experience, she says, I will always know that I'm on the Lord's errand when I'm visiting teaching.
You know, since we're speaking on priesthood and how priesthood and Relief Society work together, I think visiting teaching is another example of how the Lord has set a pattern in place to be able to help us to reach every member. It's the bishop's responsibility to be the shepherd of this flock. He has the keys of ministering and of taking care of the people in that ward, but it is pretty hard for him to do it without good home teachers and good visiting teachers. And I think this is another area where we really assist the bishop to strengthen that ward by honestly and genuinely extending friendship and love and ministering to each woman in the ward through visiting teaching.
I just saw that in action about a week or so ago. I just went to the Salt Lake Temple and saw a beautiful family sealed. They had three boys and one girl. And the boys just had perfect little haircuts, and they had their white shirt and white ties, of course. And the little girl, who was barely two, just was so still during that sealing. I will always remember, but really the story starts before that, because there was a group of visiting teachers and home teachers that decided that they were going to fulfill their purpose and to assist in bringing this family back to the gospel. It took a few years, but because of that, this family was sealed. It was with the priesthood and the Relief Society working together that blessing came to be.
Right from the very beginning, Joseph Smith instructed the sisters in the early Relief Society meetings that knowledge and intelligence would flow to this society. It is through the priesthood and because of the priesthood that that flows. I probably should read his statement. I just love it. He said, "This society is to get instruction through the order which God has established, through the medium of those appointed to lead. And I now turn the key to you in the name of God, and this society shall rejoice, and knowledge and intelligence shall flow down from this time. This is the beginning of better days to this society." I love that, and I love the place it holds in our history. One night, I remember, it was when I was on the general board years ago, and we came out one evening after board meeting. They were cleaning out under the church office buildings and were throwing away a bunch of old display units. And these words were on a piece of plywood, and it was painted, and it was nice. And I said, "Well, what are you doing with those?" "Well, we're going to be taking them to the dump." And I said, "Oh, can I have that?" And so that now sits in my garage. And every time I pull into my garage, I can see sitting there against the wall is that statement that I now turn the key to you, and this society shall rejoice. And knowledge and intelligence shall flow down. And again, this is after the manner of the priesthood. This is because of the priesthood.
You're listening to the Mormon Channel Relief Society program. We're visiting with Sister Barbara Thompson, who's the second counselor in the General Relief Society presidency, and Sister Jana Staples, who's a member of the Relief Society General Board. We're talking about revelation, decision-making in councils, the ways that we care for individuals one-on-one, and the ways that we help people make and keep covenants in the temple. These are the ways that we operate in the church, but specifically in Relief Society under the pattern of the priesthood. And Sister Thompson, a little while ago, you talked about that Relief Society and priesthood are connected. Would you just talk a little bit more about that and how you feel they are connected?
Well, Joseph Smith instructed, again, in the early meetings of Relief Society, he said, all must act in concert or nothing can be done. And I think that's exactly our charge. We've seen that throughout history. In the early days and today, we know that as we work in partnership with the priesthood, that we will be able to do the things that we need to do to prepare women and their families to receive the blessings of eternal life. That's the whole reason for Relief Society. And Joseph Smith started right off with reminding sisters that we act in harmony and in concert and unity. And of course, we act with charity and kindness and love as well. And then I love how he promised that as we abided by those principles, that we would have the angels to join us, that they could not be restrained from being our associates. And that is exactly what we need, I feel, to be able to operate in these days, is the association of the angels and of the heavens and of revelation to be able to help us and guide us.
Sharon, I love the quote from Sister Eliza R. Snow. She was the second general president of the Relief Society, and I have it here, and she taught, "Relief Society cannot exist without the priesthood, from the fact that it derives all its authority and influence from that source." Mm. When I think of that quote, I think of an experience I had back in 1984. I had the opportunity to go to Adamon Diamond, And it was my first time visiting that beautiful place. And it was so beautiful. It was lush and green, and the hills were beautiful. And it was something that I will always remember. But was more impressive to me, even more than the landscape, was really the significance of the place. This is where Adam and Eve lived with their family. And I thought about that and how it really did feel like an outdoor temple. You cannot go there without being touched by the spiritual magnitude of this place. And this is where Adam dwelt, and that the largest priesthood meeting in the history of the earth will be there. I have often looked to this, to our first parents, as our great example. They worked together as priesthood leader and the role of a woman. You saw how they labored together in the garden and how they bore responsibility as parents together and how they worshiped the Lord in prayer together. And they taught their children how to have a gospel-centered home. The priesthood and the Relief Society have been connected from the very beginning. And every time I go to Adam and Eve, which it's only been a handful, I think about that and I think what great examples they have been.
It's been said that women don't hold the priesthood, but they have access to all the blessings of the priesthood. And I wondered if you could just comment on that a little bit. How would you define or describe what the blessings of the priesthood are that are available to everybody in the church?
One of the places that we receive the blessings of the priesthood, and probably in its greatest form, is in the temple. And we go there on our own to receive our own endowment, and then we also go there to be sealed together with an eternal companion. And the blessings there, the fullness that we find there in the temple, is available to every person, man and woman. Of course, the greatest blessings are to men and women together, but we have access to all the blessings of the priesthood. And I don't think that those are the only blessings of the priesthood. The blessings of the priesthood are manifest on a daily basis in many, many forms.
There are so many blessings of the priesthood that are given to really every man, woman, and child. I think of baptism and the gift of the Holy Ghost. I think of our testimonies of the Savior. That is a blessing. I think about the personal revelation that I receive from my calling as a member of the General Board and also as my calling as a mother and a wife. And I think about how the fullness of the gospel is with us because of the priesthood. When I think about these blessings of the priesthood for all, I can't help but think about the beautiful scripture that Joseph Smith received when he was in Liberty Jail. The Lord tells Joseph, "All these things shall give thee experience and shall be for thy good." And we often stop reading at that point. But let me read to you what it says in verse 9 in section 122. "Therefore, hold on thy way, and the priesthood shall remain with thee. Thy days are known, and thy years shall not be numbered less. Therefore, fear not what man can do, for God shall be with you forever and ever." Whether we are married or single or male or female or young or old, if we sustain the priesthood by, as it says in that scripture, holding on our way, we will feel all those blessings.
You know, Jana, in almost in the place where you were reading from, I love that last part of the Doctrine and Covenants, section 121 also, where it talks about power and influence of the priesthood. And those verses that follow are absolutely wonderful. Think of some of the things that are associated with the priesthood, and they're mentioned in verse 41. Where it says, "No power or influence can or ought to be maintained by virtue of the priesthood, only by persuasion, by long-suffering, by gentleness and meekness, and by love unfeigned." And it goes on to talk about kindness and pure knowledge, and you'll be moved upon by the Holy Ghost, and that you'll have an increase of love, and that you will be filled with charity, and that you'll have faith, and virtue will garnish thy thoughts, and your confidence will wax strong. I think of all those blessings, and all of those blessings aren't just for men who hold the priesthood. Those are blessings that we obtain through the priesthood And that's what the power and influence of the priesthood causes to happen in the lives of people. And I've seen these qualities in men, women, children, and seen them demonstrated in very, very beautiful ways. And I love this description of the priesthood and the priesthood power and influence.
As we close this episode of the Mormon Channel Relief Society program, we'd just love to hear your testimonies of the priesthood and its role in the organization of the Relief Society and how you personally feel like you have been blessed by the priesthood.
You know, I think about how in 1842 it was mentioned at the very beginning in the quote where it said that the prophet Joseph Smith promised the sisters that what he had in mind for that society was something better. And it is better because we are under the direction and we have access to the priesthood. I see this in every Relief Society that I visit and every sister that I talk to, that this is much more than a women's organization. It has more. It has the blessings of the priesthood. And the prophet said that we will have something better, and it is something better. I testify that the purpose of a Relief Society is to save souls, and we do that through increasing our faith and strengthening our families and providing relief. And we do this as we sustain the priesthood. I know that God lives and that Jesus is the Christ and that the church was restored through the prophet Joseph Smith, and the blessings of the priesthood are intended for all of us. And I say this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
I don't have a priesthood holder who lives in my home, but my home and my life have been blessed by the priesthood on a daily basis. I think of the prayers that have been offered by my father or a family member or my home teacher upon me and upon my home. And I felt that strength. I felt that strength as I have prepared a talk or prepared a lesson or prepared to travel. I've seen that as I have been in the workforce for many years and have needed extra help and care in my job. I've seen that as we've dealt with family situations, both positive family situations and negative situations, where we've dealt with trials and adversity. And I have been blessed by priesthood power continually. And I think it's important for us to know that as women, although we don't hold the priesthood, I think it's vitally important that we know that the full blessings of the priesthood are available to every one of us. And when we were baptized and confirmed members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and given the gift of the Holy Ghost, that is the power to receive revelation. That is the power to make decisions that will bless our lives, that will help us, sustain us. I testify to you that the power of the priesthood is real, that as we work in concert and in harmony with our priesthood leaders, that our lives will be blessed and enriched. I know that. I've seen evidence of that continually. I've seen it in this calling and in all callings that I've had. I've seen it work in families. I've seen it work among friends. I've seen it work in the workplace. I testify that the Church of Jesus Christ has been restored, and that through the priesthood power, we will be able to have all of the blessings of the eternities in our lives if we honor and keep the covenants we've made. And I testify of that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Sister Barbara Thompson, Sister Jana Staples, sincere thanks for being with us today and for your testimonies. You've been listening to the Mormon Channel Relief Society program. For more information on the Relief Society program on the Mormon Channel, visit our website at radio.lds.org. Or to share your testimony or experience on this program, email us at radio@ldschurch.org. Thanks for listening.